This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
The Junks are presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junks. JP is currently putting up the Junkies poll of the day, brought to you by Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka and Surfside Lemonade and Vodka. The perfect addition to any gathering. Each can is just 100 calories. With zero carbonation for easy sipping, find Surfside at your local bar and in convenient variety 8-packs at your local liquor stores. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly. And it has to do with Jaden Daniels, of course, your Washington Commanders quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
We have some interesting audio from Emmanuel Acho talking about Jaden Daniels and the addition of Deebo Samuel when he shows up to play here in 2025. Here's that audio.
What's interesting, I'm somewhere in between you all two. Now, I am a fervent yes. Deebo Samuel will make Jaden Daniels the best quarterback in the NFC.
Wow.
Because Jaden Daniels now has what all the other NFC quarterbacks have, a down-off guy.
Yeah.
Jalen Hurts, give it to Saquon, down-off breather. Jordan Love, give it to Josh Jacobs, down-off. Matthew Stafford, throw a now pass to Puka Nacua, down-off. Jaden Daniels was not able to take any downs off last year because he did not have what I would suggest is a down-off guy. I can just get it to you, and I can take a down-off. I can throw you a now screen, Deebo, down-off. I can throw you a tunnel screen, Deebo, down-off. Oh, you in the backfield, I can give you a quick pitch, Deebo, down-off. Now you have a down-off guy. The other thing I would suggest, defensively, there are three things. Energy, effort, eye control. That's what defenses boil down to. Energy, effort, eye control. And you could also suggest, effort, eye control, and execution. Deebo Samuel will manipulate defenders' eye control. Now there is another player on defense that I have to focus on with my eyes. If I'm looking at Deebo, I might not be looking at Scary Terry. If I'm looking at Deebo, I might be out of my run fit, and Robinson Jr. might crease it. If I'm looking at Deebo, if you fake it to Deebo on a jet sweep, now I might lose contain, and Jaden Daniels might pull it. Now you have another player on offense who can manipulate a defender's eye control. They did not have that last year. The only player you're worried about is Scary Terry. In the red zone, you're also worried about my dog, Zach Ertz. But in the field of play, the only person you're worried about is Scary Terry. Now insert Deebo. You manipulate eye control. You can undermine one of the three factors that is to defense, which is energy. You also have execution and then eye control. I think he makes Jaden the best in the NFC.
Is it?
So some people are offended by the question I saw because they feel like he's already the best quarterback in the NFC. But if you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. With the addition of Deebo Samuel, you heard Emmanuel Acho. He believes that elevates Jaden Daniels to be the top quarterback in the NFC. And that is our poll of the day. You can vote at Junks Radio. I'm going to have a hard time giving it to Jaden Daniels with what I saw from Jalen Hurts in the Super Bowl and in the playoff run. Like, it's hard to knock him off the number one seed. Like, who are the top quarterbacks in the NFC? Jared Goff, Baker Mayfield, Jalen Hurts is in there.
Stafford.
Matthew Stafford and Jaden Daniels. And I think you can
you can
have an argument and say, well, Jaden Daniels is there, but can you knock off?
What's funny about
and,
that
and Jalen Hurts is like somewhat limited.
Yo, what's funny about that is a month before that, you wouldn't have had Jalen in that discussion. Well, he had kind of fallen off his perch a little bit.
The passing game for the Eagles for a stretch was trash. Go look at his, look at Jalen Hurts' numbers.
Like, well, they didn't throw the ball as much.
Because they didn't have to. He's able to hand it off to Saquon Barkley 20-plus times per game.
Yeah.
Like, that's a luxury that Jaden Daniels doesn't
have. He played really well in the playoffs, especially because he didn't turn the ball over.
Right.
And he was the MVP. I get it for the Super Bowl. But they don't win the Super Bowl without Saquon Barkley.
Of course not.
They just don't.
Mm-hmm.
So if you put Jaden Daniels on the Eagles last year, do they win a Super Bowl The way he played?
Probably.
They probably at least get there.
So you would put him above him. 800-636-1067. I mean,
I don't know
the
if
reality
I put above
is Jalen Hurts in the playoffs against Green Bay.
I don't necessarily put him above him.
Yeah.
I just think that Hurts had the best overall roster.
Against Green Bay, Jalen Hurts only had 13 completions in the playoffs.
He didn't have to. Yeah.
131 yards. He did have two touchdown passes.
He was definitely efficient.
Against the Rams, you know, there was weather. Completed 15 balls, 128 yards passing.
I mean, he
advanced.
He had six games in 2024 where he had under 200 yards passing.
Right.
Yeah.
Some a lot under 200 yards.
They were near the bottom in passing yards.
So I know you would put Jaden above him.
100%.
Is Jaden number one in the NFC?
Number one. Number one. And especially the fact that he did it as a rookie. He did it as a rookie with one real offensive weapon in Terry McLaurin. One.
I kind of thought that Eckler was going to be that down off guy, but he just, you know, he battled concussions.
He had issues with injury, and
they just didn't give him the ball as much as I thought they would. But Debo's on another level. I agree.
Right.
So to call him a down off guy, yeah, I can see that. I just think Debo's going to be huge.
You don't even think the year before, now last year was hurt, but you don't even think Dak Prescott merits a conversation?
No. Here's why. Too one-dimensional. Dak can't run. Dak can't create like Jaden Daniels can create. Doesn't have it in his arsenal. Has actually never really had it. Not a big rusher. I mean, he never has been.
What do you think is going to be Jaden's biggest challenge? Like, how are defenses going to change in their approach? Probably just mostly keep him in the pocket, right? That's probably the best they can.
He's a very good pocket passer. So if they want to keep him in the pocket.
He's very good, but what makes him special are the legs.
True.
And if they could somehow take away the legs.
Yeah, I would say just following up such a great rookie season.
Yeah.
Like the expectations. Now the expectations are up here.
Right.
800-636-1067.
Especially now that you're adding guys like Debo.
Do you think Jaden Daniels is already the best quarterback in the NFC? And does Debo Samuel, that addition, put them over the top there? I kind of feel like you're disrespecting Dak. I mean, two seasons ago,
mm-hmm.
wasn't he runner-up in the MVP?
Believe so.
Probably. He had a great
year. He had 36 touchdown passes with only 9 picks. Threw for 4,500 yards. He had a bomb season. Now, the season before that, it was 23-15. Season before that was 37-10.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's had some really good years.
I would say he's a very capable quarterback.
He's been so underwhelming in the playoffs, and Jaden in his first year gets the NFC Championship.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big difference. I agree. 2 years ago, he had a great year.
Like I said, the only guy that I really can put above him is, and it's simply because he just won the Super Bowl, is Jalen Hurts. Because, you know, Stafford's good, but that's a one-dimensional guy, Cakes. Mm-hmm. He's not going
to
beat you with his legs.
And to be fair to Dak, early in his career, he never rushed to the level of, like, Jaden Daniels or Lamar Jackson, but he had 282 yards rushing in one season, 357 in another. Scored a lot of touchdowns rushing, but like he doesn't have the I can rush for 1,000 yards and break 70 yard touchdown runs on you type of skill set.
And just
he might have earlier in his career, but he doesn't after the injuries, and he's just getting up there in years now.
And just based on production, you could make an argument for Jared Goff. You can make an argument for Baker Mayfield. They had really good, but are they clearly better than Jaden Daniels?
No.
Brock Purdy?
No. I'd trade Purdy in a second for
Jaden.
I think everybody on the planet would.
Wait until Purdy
becomes. Purdy's solid. I've always had a soft spot for Purdy.
He's solid. And that's why he's going to get paid.
He's going to be Jimmy Garoppolo part two. I'm just waiting for that to happen. At some point, that's going to happen.
What? He's going to get out of that. Turn into a pumpkin?
He's going to get out of that 49ers ecosystem, and then he's going to be revealed for being kind of a fraud.
Hmm.
Well, that's my opinion.
Especially when. You know, McCaffrey finally retires or moves on.
Like when Brock Purdy eventually goes and plays for, I don't know, the Browns or a team like the Chargers at some point, he's going to be exposed.
Cakes, you always kind of hate the guys that are one-dimensional pocket passers.
Don't like them. Don't like statues in the pocket.
But Joe Burrow's kind of that way.
Yes, he is.
He's athletic enough, but he doesn't put up rushing numbers.
He's like a poor man's Tom Brady, is what I would give. This is the way I would describe Burrow. Like
17 games, he had 201 yards rushing. So he's giving you.
He can move around
13 yards a game.
He can buy himself a little time, but he's not a rushing threat.
No, but you.
But he's a stud. Awesome.
We'll take him.
Yeah.
But I think
he's going to put up Hall of Fame numbers.
But I think most teams going forward, they're looking for the guys that are from the Jaden Daniels mold.
Sure.
They want the guys who can throw for 3,500 plus yards and rush for. They have the capability of rushing for 800 plus yards.
If you can find that guy, yes.
If you can find that guy, I think that's what teams probably prefer. Instead of a statuesque guy who's going to get crumble when pressure hits him in the pocket.
Mm-hmm. Back to the question at hand, though. Is Jaden Daniels number one in the NFC? I don't know that Deebo Samuel really changes the equation. And we talked about it yesterday briefly, that early on, the Vegas odds makers hadn't really changed the odds for the Commanders to get to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl. Now, maybe that's changed in the last day. But I feel like if you felt like Jaden was number one before, it's not certainly not going to change. If you felt like he was number three before, mm-hmm. I don't know that Deebo Samuel really lifts you up. I don't know. And I've never heard the down off guy before that.
I've never heard that. That dialogue. Might be an Acho thing.
Well, I get it.
It just adds another weapon. I mean,
I kind of have a beef with it, though. Like, Zach Ertz, I mean, if you want to, he was as reliable as anybody. He wasn't a down off guy. I'm just going to go to Ertz here. He was a reliable safety valve for him. You know, I don't know. I think that's just kind of like.
Yeah, he's trying to build an argument.
He's building an argument, but he's building an argument on like a fake construct. I don't think it's a thing.
Hey, to play devil's advocate to Cakes here, the top two quarterbacks off the board don't run the football in the draft this year.
Okay.
Jackson Dart would probably be, if you value that so much.
Where's he projected?
Maybe late second.
Nobody. Wow. It's getting like Bo Nix type comp.
Even he doesn't run the football like those other guys.
No.
He's athletic.
I don't know who would be. Jalen Milroe, maybe, might be the next guy.
Well, like I said, to counter Cakes, I just bring up Burrow.
Well, the Jared Goff disrespect is a little crazy right here. I mean, the guy has put up 4,500 yards three consecutive seasons. They were 15-2 last year. They had a horrible playoff game, but he threw 37 touchdowns last year.
If you can't get a dual threat guy, I mean, having a guy like Goff or Baker Mayfield is probably the next best thing.
Yeah.
But personally, I want a guy who can break a game open, rip 60-yarders in your face, and also throw for 300 yards.
Yeah.
And that's what Jaden Daniels can do.
Goff had a great
regular season. And Goff will never be able
to
do that.
But the fact that they went head-to-head in the playoffs in Detroit and Jaden played the way he did.
Right.
And Goff played the way he did. That's why a lot of people would probably put JD above.
I would.
All right, should we go to the phones?
I would put him above before. All right, let's go to
You're
Elijah.
You're a little biased. You're a little
Elijah,
biased.
Maybe.
Hey, Elijah.
Elijah, D.C.
What's going on, fellas?
What's up, Elijah?
If you put all of the NFC all of the NFC quarterbacks in a room without their rosters, Jaden Daniels is the best guy. Like, I think he was on a skateboard last year, and Philly was in a doggone Ferrari. I don't care how great of a driver you are, but you're going to need a ride. Not the leader of our roster. You give him a Ferrari, there's no question. You already know. If you put them all in, let's all do some quarterback fun, and we're going to have fun as quarterbacks. He's slinging that ball around and running around. There isn't an NFC quarterback that is better than that guy right now. And he hasn't even had his rookie jump. You give him a roster, it's curtains. Man told me keep it in 20 seconds.
All right. Thank you, buddy.
All right, we'll continue to take your calls on the MGM National Harbor listener lines when we come back at 800-636-1067. Does the addition of Deebo Samuel to the Commanders make Jaden Daniels the best quarterback in the NFC? 800-636-1067. We'll take more of your calls next. Welcome to call us on the MGM National Harbor listener lines, 800-636-1067. The topic at hand. Does the addition of Deebo Samuel make Jaden Daniels the best quarterback in the NFC, or was he already there? And this is just a cherry on top type of move to add another versatile offensive weapon to his repertoire.
I'm kind of surprised that nobody's repping for Stafford anymore.
I said because he's old and kind of beat up, and he's 37 now. Like, I think the general consensus is his best days are behind him. And
they might still be behind him, but he could still be the best. I mean, I'm not saying that he is. But I'm just surprised.
I don't know that he can crack.
He's a top five,
top two or three.
Yeah, top five.
Yeah. What were you going to say?
I was saying it's weird because, like, obviously, resume counts towards something. But if something happened so long ago, like, do people actually, you know, still count it toward, like, Jared Goff's Super Bowl appearance? Does that go towards his resume when you're trying to rank all of these?
I don't think so.
NFC
for currents?
Yeah.
I think we're talking right now.
So many recency effect, Valdez. Yeah.
That's why Goff is considered potentially the top guy in the NFC.
And Goff's been very good since he was acquired in that trade with Detroit. He was almost,
I know, I'm just saying,
like
it's
a throwaway, like a throw-in, a fill-in type player, but he's been very good.
I'm just saying it's a delicate balance. Because,
one thing which Jaden does that Goff doesn't do all the time. Jaden's really good at taking care of the football.
Right.
He doesn't throw many interceptions. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, far.
Not that Goff threw a ton this year, but he had the 5-interception game. And then in the playoffs, he had 3 interceptions.
He's never
going to
have a 5-interception game. I'm convinced of that. I'm willing to make the bet right now he never has a 5-interception game.
I don't know
game
if he's ever had one.
Yeah.
I know, you know, that second year at Arizona State, he had 10 touchdowns to 10 interceptions. But that's an outlier. Every other season of his career, he's been really incredible when you look at touchdown to interception ratio. Not to mention the legs.
Well, not many quarterbacks are going to have a 5-interception game.
What would you want him to improve upon in this offseason? What do you want? Because I don't even think you could say, like, I don't think he's going to gain much weight. I think his body type is his body type. And I like his litheness, if that's even a word. I like his, you know, how his, the sort of the, how he uses his body to his advantage when he's running. But I think I would like him to be a little bit better with decision making on getting rid of the ball instead of taking these dumb little sacks.
Yeah, a little
instead
quicker.
Instead of taking these like 2-yard sacks when you're running, just get rid of the ball.
You know, you were asking.
But you know, I'm being
a
picky.
Small nit to pick.
Yeah, I'm being picky. Yeah.
You're asking, what are they going to take away? I don't think you can take away a guy's legs. Like, I'm sure every team has tried to do that with Lamar Jackson for years, and they haven't been able to do it. And Jaden's very close to that level. I think he'll always be able to run for 600 plus yards minimum. Mm-hmm. And
well, at least in the first like 60 to 70% of his career.
Yeah.
Now if he gets like 30, if he's still playing at 34, 35, like age is going to take a toll. Like,
I think
he's going to slow down at some point.
I think what he excels at the most are the deep balls to the outside. So I would imagine that teams are going to try. And I remember Belichick talking about this when he was drafted. They're going to try to have him throw more over the middle where, look, this is nitpicking. He had a couple balls sail high this year. Those tend to be kind of that intermediate range throw over the middle, tight window type throws. But that's nitpicking. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
I would just imagine
every quarterback has bad throws.
Yeah, I imagine that that's what teams would try to
70% of his passes as a rookie.
Like, now, they were one of the top teams with screens, so of course the completion percentage is going to be high.
I'll tell you exactly, Eric, what you, I guess, should be worried about or what can cause problems next season.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to do with Cliff. It's Cliff getting his new toy in Debo, and then all of a sudden, and last season, Eric, you said, let Jaden cook. That was your mantra. That's what
when they hit that losing streak.
You're screaming that from the mountaintops. You just let Jaden cook, put the ball in his hands. But if Cliff all of a sudden becomes enamored and infatuated with Debo and all of these tunnel screens, and all of a sudden it's screen-a-palooza, you're kind of taking the ball out of Jaden's hands.
Well, it already was screen-a-palooza this year.
Well, can you imagine if you get Debo, then all of a sudden it's screen-a-palooza times two? Well,
I just think they're going to be throwing a screen. I think that my guess would be they're going to throw a similar amount of screens because that's part of his offense. It's just going to be to Debo Samuel instead of Oz.
They're throwing it to a more effective player.
Yeah.
To a better player.
That's the only thing. I mean, it's very nitpicky, but it's the only thing I'm worried about is that if you fall in love with your new toy and you're trying to force tunnel screens when it's second and 10,
I understand the point, but I don't think he's going to get away from Terry McLaurin coming off of a breakout year. Like, he knows that's the alpha wide receiver.
I know that's
on
the
this
alpha,
team.
But I'm just saying Cliff has a new toy. He likes running screens, and then all of a sudden that's taking up the majority of plays that you're calling.
It's possible. It's possible that he could just regress. I don't think any of us expect that, but to bring up Jalen Hurts. 2022, people were talking about him as one of the top quarterbacks in the game. He had 22 touchdown passes with just 6 interceptions to go along with all the running. Well, then he followed that up in 2023.
Bad year.
23-15. Mm-hmm. And was throwing,
he was,
you know,
up.
People were just talking about him throwing interceptions, yeah, all the time.
He was banged up that
year, too. His rating went from 102 to 89.
Mm-hmm. But then
this year he bounced back to 104.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it helps that you have Saquon.
All right, let's bang on some of these calls. 800-636-1067. Of course, we have Dante Whitner coming up in the last segment. Make sure you stay tuned for that.
He should give us some good Debo insight because he's a Niners guy.
For sure. Let's go to Marcus Brandywine. Marcus, what's up, man?
What's going on, Drunk Talking Feeling this morning?
Hey, Marcus. Good.
All right, so I got 2 points. First one is, as a casual NFL fan of an NFC team with, let's say, a top five quarterback in the NFC, of course, when you ask who's the best quarterback in the NFC, they're going to say their quarterback. Now, it's not close in any form, way, shape, form, or fashion that Jaden is the top quarterback in the NFC because he's been in the NFC for 1 year. Now, to you guys' point about the resume, if Jaden Daniels has been in the league as long as a Jared Goff or as long as a Matt Stafford, and, you know, the numbers don't shape up, of course we can go then to the resume. But as it stands after the 2024-2025 season, Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback in NFC. And any NFL fan should know that. Now, of course they don't. Everybody's entitled to their own opinion. But numbers speak loud. Actions speak louder. And he showed that he was the best quarterback in the NFC. So let's get that out the way first, right? I'll say that. So second point, as far as Debo adding to Jaden's numbers or anything like that, I want to. So it's kind of like a two-parter here. First, Debo, if anything, I wouldn't be surprised if Debo Samuels took away from Jaden Daniels' running numbers in a good way, though. Not like, so Jaden played 20 games last season. I would say it takes, you know, 5 to 6 games for defenses to figure out what he does well, right? And they tried, you know, they tried. It was times on runs where defenses were there. I mean, you know, guys were there, and he put on his cape, and, you know, then the guys weren't there all of a sudden. So the defenses can try to scheme a way to stop Jaden Daniels, but this is a guy that's just a natural playmaker, whether it be with his arm or with his legs. So I don't see his numbers decreasing because of something that the defense is doing. I see maybe his numbers decreasing because – maybe he doesn't have to scramble as much because we have this gadget, because we're not waiting, I guess, longer for plays to develop, where then the line breaks down and now he has to escape. Now you have an additional guy that you can, you know, scheme up, bubble screens, jet sweeps, drag, just something quick to get the ball out of his hands. And if it works, then great. If it doesn't, then he puts his cape on and then he can go. And then for, I guess, I was hearing a lot about how signing Debo may take away from Terry McLaurin's production in a way. I will very, very loosely compare this situation to the first thing that comes to mind, which is Philly. You know, they're in these. Well, Philly with Saquon and AJ Brown, right? You have
Marcus, thank you for the call. We got to get top five minutes.
Well, see, the way that I look at it is it going to take away from Terry? I think he's going to.
At some point, you got to cut.
Don't you think he's going to kind of fill the role
that
they used a bunch of people in? So you take what Deami gave you plus OZ gave you plus Noah Brown, and that's going to be Samuel's percentage.
Samuel's
percentage.
I'm just saying you added different. You added the S yesterday.
No, apostrophe S.
Okay.
His percentage of plays is going to be similar to those guys combined.
If you add Debo to the mix and his rushing numbers take an uptick, he only went for 136 last year. Say he rushes for 250, and that eats into Jaden's rushing. That's fine. Like, if you wanted to reduce the wear and tear on Jaden by giving Debo 3 to 5 carries per game.
It doesn't matter who does it.
I have no problem with that.
Yeah, doesn't matter who
does
it.
That's part of why you acquired him, because he's versatile all over your offense. I have no problem whatsoever with letting Debo rush the ball some, especially if it takes pressure off of Jaden.
Replicating what McLaurin did last year is going to be very difficult.
Well, I mean, he's going to face touchdown regression this upcoming season.
Yeah, I mean, maybe not the catches or the targets or the yards, but like 13 touchdowns is
he could still have a great year and score 8 or 9 touchdowns.
Correct.
And some of those other touchdowns go to Debo or go to Ertz. Or, I mean, this is wild. Maybe a few more go to Ben Sinnott, the guy that you spent a second-round pick on that you might utilize more in year two.
Well, you're forgetting the roster's going to look different. There's guys that aren't on the team yet that will be.
True.
And those guys could be guys scoring touchdowns.
All right, let's go to
rookie or free agent.
This time next week, we're going to know about some of those guys.
Oh, it's going to be so tasty.
And some of the guys who will have signed with other teams. Like, we went through it earlier in the show. Take somebody like Dante Fowler Jr. You might already find out that he's signed with Arizona or whoever.
I said he was a 10. 10 out of 10 to re-sign Dante Fowler.
I think we're going to put that up on social media later.
Let's go to Gary in Rockbridge. Gary, what's up, man? You're on with the Junks.
Hey, what's going on, Donks?
What's up, Gary?
Y'all yesterday. Hey, I just want to say it's definitely a cherry on top. No doubt. He's the best. And I have a question for JP.
Yes,
sir. He claims that Hurts is the best quarterback because he finally won a Super Bowl. So my question is, does he think that Hurts is better than Marino? And does he think Dilfer is better than JD?
No.
All right. Put Gary on hold, but keep it up. We need to guess where Gary's from. That accent is
it's
just
dark.
Fascinating. I mean, fascinating.
What is your instinct?
He said the town.
Do you also want to get profession?
I don't even know where Rockbridge is. Is that someplace in Virginia? I don't know. But I don't know. Is that a Virginia accent?
He's originally from West Virginia.
You got West Virginia? All right, I'm going to go he's from the sticks of North Carolina somewhere.
Yeah.
Like Nowhereville, North Carolina, population 300.
I'll say Alabama. I have no
Jason,
idea.
Jason, you have a guess?
Well, since you said he was from Virginia, I'm just going to say somewhere in the mountains, Shenandoah.
Okay.
All right. You think that's where he was born?
Oh, I don't. Sure.
Yeah. Gary, where are you from, buddy?
Yeah. I'm actually 5 minutes away from BMI.
Oh, he's down there. Virginia. That's like.
And you win.
BMI.
What is that? Lexington?
No disrespect. Yeah. One of the worst campuses.
And we're not going to play the game. What's your profession?
Right down 81.
I was a construction worker for a while until I got hurt, so I've been on disability for several years.
Oh, that sucks.
That stinks.
Back surgeries, reconstructed right hand.
Yuck.
Oh, Jesus. What were you doing?
46 years old.
What were you doing? Working on roofs or something?
I used to build bridges.
Oh, yeah. Would you fall off a freaking bridge?
Manly man.
Yeah, it made a man out of me. I broke my ass up.
All right. Thanks for calling, Gary. Thank you, buddy.
When we come back,
have a good one.
Yeah, me too, buddy.
We'll be joined by Dante Whitner, Niners
Dante
analyst
Hintner.
For NBC Bay Area. He's going to join us next here on The Fan. We are going to hook up caller number 10 right now at 800-636-1067 on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. You're going to win 2 tickets to Dierks Bentley Broken Branches Tour Friday, July 11th at Jiffy Lube Live. That's the date of the show. Tickets are on sale right now. For tickets and more event info, go to thefandc.com/events. So call now to win. Joining us on the Rude guest hotline, Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. It's Dante Whitner, 49ers analyst for NBC Bay Area. Played in the NFL for 11 years, 3-time Pro Bowl safety.
And Dante was with the Washington Redskins for a season.
He was. Mm-hmm.
Did you have any interaction with Dan Snyder?
I didn't have any interaction. We were in close proximity on many occasions, but like many players, he never really, you know, spoke to the players that often.
The only ones he did were like the big, big, I mean, Dante was a great player, but like the Clinton Portises, the LeVar Arringtons. That was the rumor.
Deion Sanders.
Yeah, I understood it because I didn't have anything invested there. I was there for the last 6 months of my career, so I didn't have much invested. Those guys had a ton invested.
Right. All right, so we had you on because, you know, I know you're a San Francisco guy. I want to get your thoughts on Debo. A lot of people are kind of saying, he's washed, he's fat, you know, best days behind him. A lot of us here seem to think he's a pretty good fit.
I think he might be a good fit. But when you look at his body of work, he had that tremendous year in 2021 when he had over 1,400 yards receiving, averaged 18 yards per catch, and he still did it on the ground, 8 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. He's been on decline ever since, and a lot of it has been the emergence of Brandon Ayuk, Juwan Jennings, other guys getting opportunities. And then some of it is, when you get later in your career, you have to tweak things that you eat. You have to tweak your off-season routine, and you have to make sure that as you get older, you start to lose weight. So I'm not sure if he has somebody that's giving him that information, but, you know, this is a pinnacle point in his career, and it starts right now. Is he working out right now? Is he dieting? Is he trying to get to his leanest state that he's been since 2021? Or are you just coasting and thinking that you're going to be able to turn it on? So there were some instances this year where teams would just play man-to-man coverage versus Deebo Samuel, and missing Christian McCaffrey, it really exposed a little bit in his game. When you can get him in the flat, get him in the open area, use misdirection, let him run up the middle, you know, get him matched up with linebackers, he's great. But a lot of times when the cornerbacks would get their hands on him, he couldn't separate. And a lot of that is you're getting older. You're not as lean as you were when you came into the league. But I have, you know, full confidence that Deebo Samuel with a full dedicated offseason can get back to his all-pro ways.
Well, let me ask you this. You know, when you were in the league, you used the word coasting. What's kind of the percentage of guys who coast versus have really elite work ethic and work hard all the time? And what do you know about Deebo in that department?
Well, the 1% are the guys who are the all pros and the pro bowlers and make the most money. So I would say it's somewhere around that 1-5% that don't go into coast mode. And I call it really the Tom Brady syndrome. We all play the game because we love it, and then you make money, and then you make a lot of money, and it's natural, it's normal, it's instinctual, it's human instincts to get comfortable. It's hard to get up at 5:30 in the morning and be truly dedicated to your craft and then go back to the track in 90-degree heat when you made $60 million. It's easy to do that when you haven't made any money. So that's where you start to see the separation between the great players and the Hall of Famers.
Dante, from what you know about him, your experiences with Deebo, is he a good team guy? Is he a good culture fit here in Washington? Because there's been a lot made of Dan Quinn and Adam Peters revamping the culture, the way things are done here in Washington. We saw that high-profile skirmish on the sideline between him and the kicker and the long snapper last year. Is he a good culture guy, a good culture fit here in D.C.?
Absolutely, and that was just passion and frustration. You know, the season was going tough all year, dealing with a lot of injuries, losing a bunch of close games, and the kicker not really executing in the moment. But I think that when you look at the 49ers' body of work, the identity that they set on the offensive side of the ball, I would say that that physicality and that identity starts with Deebo Samuel and George Kittle. But you have to perform at a certain level, and the players, your peers around the league, have to view you a certain way, and they have to actually respect you. So if he can get that burst back, if he can get that dog, that physicality back where he runs through tackles and he can separate versus man coverage, absolutely. And as he plays that way with that physical type of presence, the other players around him will play with a more physical type of presence. So I think that he'll be a great culture guy in Washington.
Yeah, Dante, you make some good points about the coasting and you know, especially 6-7 year veterans that may do that have already made a bunch of money. But a couple of things with Deebo that I think will enforce his hardworking ethics in the offseason. One, he's in a contract year. And then,
absolutely.
And then two, he's hearing all this stuff about how he's fat, and he came out and talked about the weight issue. So he knows that the media knows this, social media knows it. So I think those two reasons are the number one and two on top of the list that he's going to come back strong and have a really good year if he's healthy.
Absolutely. And when you think about the type of player that he is and where he comes from, and, you know, just the way that he plays the game, you have to know that he's taken this as fuel. Yeah. And that's what you expect him to do. But also, he's getting up there in age, guys, like 29 years old. He'll be 30 in January. If you look at the data, it shows you that guys start to decline around 29, 30, 31 years old. Majority of guys don't play 10 years, and they're sort of phased out around that 31 age. So there's some anomalies, some guys that can go on and continue to play at a high level, but we start to see a decline around that 30, 31 age. So hopefully Deebo Samuel is truly dedicated to his craft. Once again, he's using it as fuel. And if you get that Deebo Samuel, I think that up there with, you know, the Philadelphia Eagles and some other teams, the Detroit Lions probably, I would say that the Washington Commanders are first in line to be Super Bowl favorites.
Dante, not to use this as an excuse, because you see the guy play every single down and you see him in practice too, but how much of an excuse is it for the injuries that he had last year, the pneumonia? He had a calf injury, he had an oblique, he had the pneumonia for a week or two. The fact that Christian McCaffrey played four games, Brandon Ayuk was out for the entire year, had some injuries on the offensive line. I mean, it was just a bad year. Six wins for this team is just a horrible year. So how much of that factored into the down numbers for Debo?
I think a lot of it factored in not having Christian McCaffrey. Teams playing a lot more man coverage because he's a matchup issue. And if you put your linebackers in a man defense and they motion and shift him, you don't want them with that matchup issue. So a lot of it was Christian McCaffrey not being out there. But then conversely, you have to look at the receiver who stepped up when other guys went down, and that's Juwan Jennings, the seventh-round draft pick, former quarterback, and he had over 1,000 yards. And he separated from man coverage at a high rate. Debo Samuel didn't. So I would say some of it is the injuries, but some of it was just not the ability to be quick at the line of scrimmage and separate. So, yeah. So some of it was, you know, some of the weight stuff. So we'll see how he attacks this offseason. It's critical and vital that he gets in top peak shape and that he attacks it. And one thing about Debo Samuel is he practices harder than anybody. When I was watching him during training camp this year, I thought that he was in a contract this year. Because of the way that he was performing in training camp. It's just like as the season goes on, you have to be meticulous about what you eat, how much you sleep. You have to really, pay attention to your body fat. There's so many things that guys don't really, take advantage of and incorporate until it's too late. So there's every opportunity for him to go out there with this offense, the Washington Commanders and Jaden Daniels and all those guys, what they accomplish this year. Debo Samuel will be an asset if he comes in shape.
Joined by Dante Whitner, 49ers analyst for NBC Bay Area on the Rude Guest Hotline. Let me ask you a Niners question while we have you. Are the Niners prepared to pay Brock Purdy $50-plus million per year? He's a 2026 UFA. What's the latest on trying to get a deal done with Purdy out there?
Absolutely, and what we're hearing is he might be willing to take a hometown discount. He's grateful for the opportunity to be the franchise quarterback for the 49ers, and they're negotiating now. And if you know Brock, he's not really about the money. He's about keeping the players around him so that they can have team success, because he knows that ultimately that's what it boils down to. And then they've had some guys like Juwan Jennings who emerged. And you have Ricky Pearsall, who's going to be coming back for a second year. You're going to have Brandon Ayuk if they keep him. And he's going to be coming back off of ACL. And they're going to sign George Kittle back. Not to mention that you're going to have, 2023's Offensive Player of the Year and Christian McCaffrey fully healthy. And he didn't get beat up this year. So with Robert Saleh returning to defense, if they can really fix that defensive line and get some depth there, I think that the 49ers could be back in position to make another run at a Super Bowl.
Dante, really appreciate the time, man. Thanks so much. We'll have to book you again soon.
Thanks for getting up,
Thank
bro.
You.
Absolutely. You guys have a great day.
Yeah, man, you too. That's Dante Whitner, Niners analyst for NBC Bay Area.
He's so soft-spoken.
I know.
For a guy who is known as being such a vicious hitter.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
He was fun to watch.
He would lay the lumber.
Does Todd Bowles kind of talk the way he talks?
A little bit.
Get a little vibe
kind of soft
there.
Spoken, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he was a bad man.
He had a nice long career, too. 11 years in the league.
I tried to get a Snyder story for our pilot EP.
I know, you tried.
Hey, he didn't give us anything.
Well, big surprise. Dan Snyder wouldn't talk to a guy that just walked in the door.
For
yeah,
one
that
year.
Played one year, yeah.
Yeah,
he
right.
wouldn't even acknowledge him. Sounds like a great owner. Sounds like a great person.
Are you gonna reach out to him today and see
sure.
if he wants to come on tomorrow?
Sure.
Can we do our we got to do our pitch in the public though?
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah. Don't tell him what the pitch is.
Oh,
don't tell
I'll
him.
Say we want you on
the pitch
second.
On air.
Say we're gonna pitch you on an idea.
Yeah, I've been writing my script about when the Native Americans come to the office and he has a powwow with them in his office.
That's good.
Solid.
So this is fiction? This is fictional.
We're taking liberties.
No, but we were talking about it, like, to make sure we don't get sued, it almost has to be based on stuff that's been reported.
Right, like the Native American still has to be a mechanic.
Yeah, he's own a tow truck company. So many ideas. All right, we got to get out of here. We'll see you again tomorrow with more script ideas. B. Mitch and Finley, they're coming up next here on The Fan.